Hello, this is Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM, your weekly programme about teaching and learning dedicated to teachers, policymakers and all educators. I'm Sean Delaney and you can download podcasts of previous programmes at seandelaney.com. On last week's programme, we heard the Chief Executive Officer of the Irish Primary Principals Network speaking on the eve of the network's annual conference. The IPPN conference is now done and dusted for another year, but there is still some more that I wanted to find out about the organisation for primary school principals and about the man who has taken over at the helm of the network. So this week I'm speaking again to Pádraig Clerkin about his work with the IPPN. Obviously an event like the annual IPPN conference gets a lot of attention this time every year, but I began this part of our conversation by asking Pádraig how the IPPN supports principals from day to day.
Our main priority is to ensure that school leaders are networking with each other, that they're involved in a support group. It's not possible to do this job alone. You need the support of your colleagues. I think one of our great achievements over the past 20 years has been to ensure that all of those shutters which were perhaps pulled down in the principal's office, where we were working alone, and perhaps even in competition with the school, you know, down the road from us, that culture has changed. And the culture now is of professional generosity. We engage with each other. We talk to each other. We support each other. We try to understand each other. We empathise with each other. We understand the difficulties.
But there still can be a competition for numbers. If you have two schools in an area where the numbers are falling and, you know, neither principal wants to lose students.
I would have to say that my experience is that, you know, all school leaders working together, they're involved in their local support group. They're meeting on a monthly basis. They're supporting each other to do the best job that they can possibly do for the students in their school. And yes, at the end of the day, there might be competition for numbers, but there's also a situation, like I was privileged to be a member of my own support group in Dublin 15, a fantastic support group. One of the areas which, you know, had support groups in place even before IPPN existed. And I certainly experienced great leadership from those principals who have now retired. But the one thing about it is that the whole diversity, you know, that's the whole change that has been in relation to the different types of schools that are in our areas, that our focus perhaps now moves on to ensuring that every family gets a choice of the type of school that they want to go to, so that we work together and our Catholic schools and our Educate Together schools and our Gael Scoileanna and the community national schools can work together and try to give our parents and provide some form of choice whereby that, you know, if they want to go to one school over the other, that they would get that choice. But at the end of the day, that between us all, that we would try to ensure that every child gets to go to school at an appropriate age. Like, that was one of our challenges in Dublin 15, where the problem was a huge scarcity of places, and it was how would we manage the situation to ensure that children would get into school. And we couldn't have done it without principals and schools and patron bodies supporting each other and working together to try to solve those problems. So that's my experience, and I think that's the greatest change that there has been in the, you know, in the primary school sector and amongst school leaders over the past 20 years. We do work together, and it has changed so much in the past 20 years. I don't believe it would be possible to do your job effectively without coordinating and working with those around you who are in a similar role. Because you need their support, and you're giving support and advice one day, and you're receiving it the next day. You're giving support to the recently appointed principal one day, and very, very soon after, they're giving you advice, and, you know, they're listening to you.
Because when a knock comes to your door, you never know what the issue behind that knock is.
You don't know, and it's good to talk, and it's good to get the viewpoints of others. And usually, and that's what we would find is, you know, even in dealing with the most difficult of issues, you know, let it be, you know, severe crisis in severe shortage of school places in a local area, that if you sit down and you discuss it and you tease it out, you'll have diverse views, you'll have different opinions, but usually by the end of the conversation, if you have six or seven in the room, six or seven local school principals or local school leaders, you will usually come to the right decision and to the best decision. That has been my experience to date.
What's your own background, Pádraig, in education?
Well, I went to school in St. Vincent's Christian Brothers School in Glasnevin. I went to primary and secondary school there. And I moved a long way down the road to St. Pat's College in Drumcondra. And I spent obviously some time there. I did a master's later on in my career, and I spent some time teaching in Hackney in London, which was a fantastic experience. I came back then and I took up a job in St. Francis Xavier's Senior National School out in Castleknock, and then became the founding principal of St. Patrick's National School in Diswallstown. So I would have to say that fantastic experience in school. I only met and knew very dedicated teachers. We did have Christian Brothers in primary school, few in secondary school, but I suppose numbers were beginning to dwindle. But just some of them, like some of my memories would have been Brother Nee, Brother O'Neill, he used to bring us over to Glasnevin Cemetery and gave the most fantastic tour of Glasnevin. And I often regret that it wasn't, you know, recorded at some stage, because he, you know, it just was something that it just resonated with me. It was fantastic, and it was one of those experiences that just stayed with you for life. And they're the small little things that just stay with you, and that's, you know, one of my memories. But yeah, I had a fantastic experience. And you know, when I was growing up, it was the school and the local club were so closely aligned. Like our school and Nafina, we had the same colour jersey, and literally the team lined out for school one week and the same team lined out the weekend, you know, for the club. So yeah, it was great.
It must have been an interesting experience being a founding principal. When did you start that, and what was it like?
I started out in 2001. It was very exciting but very challenging. I was very lucky at the time in that one of my colleagues from my school in St. Francis Xavier's, and unfortunately for that school, I suppose, because they lost one of their best teachers, but Mary Power was my colleague there, and she joined me. And I have to say that it was very much a partnership from the start, and every day was a learning day. Every day was a school day for us. We were also lucky in that it was the same year as IPPN had just been founded, so there was great support for school leadership, and we had a fantastic support group in Dublin 15 that was set up and run by Ignatius Byrne, who was in the junior school in Francis Xavier's at the time. So I was very lucky in that I had a network around me, you know, from the start. Fantastic parents. I would reckon we have the greatest chairperson that anyone could wish for in Daniel Collins. And believe it or not, like, Daniel is still chairperson. He, you know, runs his own business, and he is still chairperson of St. Patrick's National School. It's something, again, that we, I think, can take for granted, and we don't acknowledge what these individuals give up and the dedication they have, again, to giving back to their local communities. Because being chairperson of a school, but especially a developing school, you know, can be like nearly a full-time job in itself, and the responsibilities that go with it, like, they're onerous. And just my experience was just being surrounded by fantastic people. But you know, you're getting new people in every year. Every year is a new start, because especially when it's, you know, a larger school. So ours was a 3-stream school, and some years we had to take in 4 streams. So, like, you had a new staff coming in every year. So it was like every year was a new start.
And what was your route then from there to becoming Chief Executive Officer of the Irish Primary Principals Network?
I suppose I was involved as a chairperson of IPPN Dublin for a number of years, again, through my colleagues in Dublin 15. I found myself being brought into some of those circles and getting involved. And later, around 2008-2009, Pat Goff, who's now Deputy CEO, he was President of IPPN at the time, and he phoned me and asked me if I would join the board. And got involved as a board member, really enjoyed my time as a board member, got involved in some very interesting projects, such as supporting, you know, school leaders in remote schools who have no secretarial support with some remote support. So got, you know, involved with really some very interesting projects, really where you're trying to do something that at times very practical support for school leaders. And obviously going around and delivering CPD and meeting with school principals all around the country at our AGM events each year. Eventually then I took on the role of treasurer on the board. And last year, when Sean decided that he was going to step down after 17 years.
As Sean Cottrell.
Sean Cottrell. After 17 years, I decided, well, I'd been a board member for a number of years, and very much like I feel should happen in our schools, and I always pushed it with our school, you know, school staff, that, you know, when posts of responsibility came up, put your name in. You know, it's do the right thing for the school. Ensure that there's maximum choice. Let the best person be chosen for the job. You know, the wider the field, the better it is from the organization's point of view. And, you know, I did believe that, and I felt, well, you know, if I was saying that at school level, well, I should do the same thing when it came to the role of CEO of IPPN. So I did put my name in, and I was lucky enough to be successful.
And you've had a year doing the job now. How have you found it?
Oh, it was very daunting in the beginning, Sean, and very challenging. I'd say the first thing I had to get over was actually leaving school. You know, I got up the last day when I was leaving school, and I suppose when you're in there from the very start, and when you've appointed everyone and you're 16 years there, and I got up to address the children in the afternoon, and I'm sure there were about 700-800 in the hall and all of the staff. And Mary asked me to get up and speak, and it was probably the one occasion in my life I stood up and nothing came out. It was so emotional. I did say to them that I'd be speaking to the, you know, at the conference, and I know this week because I'm speaking on Thursday, but I did suggest to them that perhaps that day standing up in front of them would be more difficult than standing up in front of my colleagues, you know, to address them on Thursday night. But I'd have to say the emotion of that was something, again, that will stay with me. And just the lovely messages, the cards, the letters that you got from people, you know, thanking you. And I suppose, you know, showing appreciation for the time that you'd put into something, and that meant an awful lot to me. So I would have to say that, you know, for the first few weeks, I do remember driving down the next day, and it was a lonely feeling, you know, having left school and driving down to a new job and having left such fantastic colleagues behind. But to move on then, you know, and I would have known the staff in IPPN, and I'd have to say, as close as I was to IPPN, as involved as I was, I really didn't have any sort of an idea of what went on in the office down there. And all I can say is that it's a machine that keeps the organisation running, and it's fantastic, dedicated staff. It has been a privilege to work with them and to learn from them, because you're now moving into the space where everything is about project management, and that was a different space for me. But I found that very interesting. When I look back now, I'm there, you know, I'll have 9 months completed at the end of this month. And, you know, I'd have to say I've learned a lot, probably without realizing it, but just your association with people who are thinking in a different way, you're learning. I look forward to having some time now after conference again to develop, you know, and to look at that in terms of perhaps formalizing some of that learning and having some more time to look at specific areas in terms of my own personal development. I have 5 hours in the car at least every week in terms of, you know, driving to Cork and driving back. And that's actually fantastic time that I'm determined would be used proactively. You know, I certainly would listen to a number of podcasts, but I'd be looking at the opportunity, you know, for online learning and things like that into the future. So the role has been very exciting, very interesting. It's challenging, of course, but, you know, to be in and the privilege of meeting all of the different stakeholders involved in education and to engage in the debate, to try to be as constructive as possible and to be positive in terms of, you know, where we can bring things. And if the one thing that I feel very, very strongly about is that whole notion of collaboration. If we want to truly make change, well, it's our job, first of all, to do the research and to be very, very sure of our position in terms of what that position is and why we want that change. Our next job is then to go and to persuade our colleagues right around the different sectors of the education sector, you know, as to why that position must be followed through by all, and to get their support. And then we work with the department and with government officials to try and ensure that that happens. And I believe that we can do that. And I already see there's a hunger and an appetite for collaboration and working together and trying to prioritise, because it's a very busy sector. So, like, the only way it can actually work is to prioritise. And we know that, you know, there's a finite budget. So it's about trying to prioritise and ensure that we make the right decisions and persuade the department and central government to make the right decisions for the children attending our schools.
On those long journeys to and from Cork, what are your favourite podcasts?
I listen to Stephen Coveney quite a lot, you know, the Seven Habits of Effective People. And I would listen to that over and over, and I have to say that that inspires me in terms of, I think, in relation to our life, not just our work life, but our overall life. Just he would have a lot of insights into how we can be more reflective and ensure that we live life to the best, but also ensuring that we're looking after the people around us. He's very clear that we have to invest in the relationships, and it doesn't matter, let it be if you're in the business world, if in your family life, that it's all about investing in relationships, trying to understand others before attempting to have others understand you. And I think that's very good advice.
Around this time of the year, or maybe in the next few months anyway, there'll be a number of teachers all around the country wondering, will I apply for a principalship or will I not, either in my own school or in another school? What kind of factors should they be thinking about when they're trying to make that decision? Or is it one you'd recommend them to take?
Well, number one, Sean, we need our best educators to involve themselves in school leadership. We must attract the best to the position of principalship and deputy principalship into the future. And I have to, on that point, I have to say that we are absolutely delighted to see that the post of deputy principalship is now being opened up to external candidates. And we feel that we're now putting a proper structure in place whereby it's a career structure, and that teachers in the future would be able to apply for deputy principalships and then perhaps, you know, consider applying for a principalship. I also think in the future you'll see some principals decide at a later stage to perhaps apply for a deputy principalship. And again, going back to that, you know, that step back facility. So that's going to be very interesting. But first of all, there's such autonomy in our schools. Secondly, you're in a position where you can have such a positive impact on the lives of children. You know, so I would be inclined to say to people, why wouldn't you consider the position of principal when you look at the potential that's out there in terms of how you could impact on the lives of children, not just on the lives of the children, but on the lives of their families, the community at large. You can have such a positive influence. You can do so much. You can do so much for your school staff. You can do so much to empower them, to get the best out of them. And I honestly believe that our job is actually to facilitate leadership within the school. In the future, and certainly when I address the 4 years in all of the colleges of education, that is what I'd be saying to them. There's now a responsibility on you to become a leader in some field. So make sure, follow through on your passions. There will be an area of the curriculum that you're passionate about. Develop your expertise in relation to that and share it with your colleagues. My job as principal in my school was not to be the expert or to know everything about everything. My job was to facilitate others, to ensure that they could become the leaders in the different aspects around the school. And I would define my leadership through the number of leaders that I leave behind me. I think that's what's really, really important. And I think that that's a very exciting space to be in. Yes, it is a challenging role. But what I will say to everybody is there's such support. There's such a support structure in place now to help everyone to ensure that they can be successful in their role as school leader. And we have all of the supports that are available through IPPN. There's also supports available through PDST. There are supports available through the INTO. There are supports available through the management bodies. Supports available through the Department of Education and Skills. And look at what the department have done in recent years, and they deserve such credit for it in the setting up for the Centre of School Leadership. That is a game changer as far as I'm concerned. And the department have stepped back and are looking, and they very much have this as part of their strategic plan. And the department want the best school leaders in place, and they want to encourage and to ensure that they can succeed. They are spending a lot of money at the moment on coaching services for school leaders. So they are investing in leadership, and that's so important. And I believe passionately in the role of school leader. I loved it myself. Yes, it was challenging, but like, what great achievement is there out there that's not challenging?
From where you're standing, if you were to look at 10 years' time, how would the job of principal be different to what it is today?
I would certainly hope that it's very much about a school principal who's sitting down with their team, and as a team, they'll have different individuals with different expertise sitting around the table, advising them in relation to how best to approach any issue. And then that all of them as a team will sit down and discuss what the best way to move things forward is. And then obviously they'll go and they'll consult with their wider staff and with their children and with their parents in the school in relation to that. So I would feel that it has to move into the space of the principal being a facilitator of leadership.
Padraig, we're coming near the end, so just a few general questions that I kind of put to all guests on the programme. First of all, who or what inspires you?
The givers in life, Sean, inspire me. The givers in society, all of those community workers, community leaders, the people who get involved in, you know, volunteerism, let it be in their club, just giving back, let it be in, local community groups. They're the people who inspire me, because I think they're the people who really keep society ticking over, who bring us all back to think and to consider what's really important in life. You know, I've been very, very fortunate, and my wife's very involved with a drama group, Dríocht, which put on plays every year, to put on a new play, and they put it on for any organisation, any volunteer organisation that wants to raise money. It could be the local school, could be the local club, the Lions Club, anything like that. And my grandfather set that group up about over 50 years ago, and it's based on the one night stand show, where they go, they set up their set, put on the play, they take it down, and all the profits go to the local organisation. And people come to us, and as I say, I was involved in a few of the plays a good number of years back, but my wife is very involved at the moment, and my first cousin leads it. But the one thing that I would note from that, people are coming to you, thanking you, you know, for putting on your play, and they'd say, oh, aren't you wonderful, aren't you great? And yes, it's great to give back, but the group, they're doing something that they enjoy. It's a hobby, and it's something that they love. And of course, you know, there's a certain amount of giving in that, but it's humbling to see all of those different groups who are doing and giving for their communities, and they're doing the thanking, you know, and they're all there trying to raise money, trying to do something positive for their own communities. And that happens everywhere. And if we look around, you know, from the local soccer club, GAA club, tennis club, as I say, to our boards of management, to all of the community organisations looking after the needy, the homeless, the older people in our society, all those people who are giving, that to me is the fabric of society, and they're the people that I really admire, and they're the people who inspire me.
Have you a favourite book or writer or blog about education?
I'm going to go back actually to the one that I mentioned already, which is Stephen Covey, and I know it's not really about education, but just in terms of leadership, I really would recommend that book, you know, just about the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it sounds like it's about being a great achiever in life. I don't see it that way. It's actually about being effective and being a good person in your own personal life, and how to follow through on that. And I would highly recommend, there's the audio version of it, and there's also the book itself. The audio version is absolutely fantastic, and it's great listening to anyone who in their car over a period of time. It's the sort of thing that you need to listen to over and over again, and every time you listen to it, it's certainly something else comes to mind with me. That's the one really that sits with me at the moment. I think Andy Hargreaves, I think, his books are great reads from an educational and from a leadership point of view.
If you could make one change to the IPPN and resources were not an issue, what change would you make?
Two things. Number one, I would love to see, you know, obviously, we're a not-for-profit organisation, we're a charity, and we have to ensure that at the end of the year that we try to balance our books. But I would love if we had some extra funding, if we were able to spend more time getting out around the country to deliver CPD at, especially in some of our more rural areas, where it might be, you know, in some of those cases, they're having to travel maybe up to 80, 100 kilometres to get to their local education sector to receive that CPD. I would love if we were able to, you know, get around those areas more and a few times during the year. It's also, I suppose, the other side of that then is like, we're obviously looking at the IT side of things and how we can, you know, deliver supports through our website. And we have a weekly e-scale that's coming out, that comes out each week, and obviously there's snippets of CPD, in that. But we've now moved on to recording, and I suppose like many podcasts, like the 5-minute bench break. I don't know if you've heard of that concept, but it's CPD that's targeted towards very busy people, and the idea being that at some stage during the day they'll grab a cup of coffee, and this is, you know, CPD for during your cup of coffee. And we're looking at, you know, trying to develop that for our weekly e-scale, and we'd hope that people would sit down and give the 4 or 5 minutes, you know, over that cup of coffee, and look at that. Now I know myself from in school, you usually left about 10 cups of where you just had taken 2 sips out of it, because things moved on. And in fact, people often ask me about this school, what's life like as a principal, and I say, well, the thing, and I'm sure it happens in other fields, but you often went in with your bag in the morning, you put it down, and you went on with your day's work, and then it came to going home, and you went in and you realized you hadn't opened your bag, and sitting inside in the bag was your lunch, and just you, and then somebody would ask you, what did you do all day, and you'd find it very difficult to answer the question. So that's, I suppose, why we're trying to target that shorter type of CPD that again, that people just maybe would have time to sit down and look at it over that shorter period of time. So I'd love if we had some extra funding just to develop that idea. I think it'd be interesting, and again, just the fact that hopefully, if once we sort out the broadband issue, that would be reachable, and it would bring some sort of equity in that all school leaders right around the country would have equal access to it. And I suppose I would love to see us doing some more research into some of our priorities and some of the issues that need to be addressed from a school leadership point of view.
And what from your own primary or post-primary education informs your practice in education today?
I suppose if I go back to my days in St. Vincent's in Glasnevin, and one of the memories certainly that I have, and I certainly brought it into my own classroom teaching, I certainly brought it into my leadership role in the school, and I certainly would bring it around to kids, and that's that we have a lifelong mission to search for our talents, and we should never lose sight of that we're constantly looking and searching for our talents. And I think it's the very lucky ones, who find those talents from early on, and we see our kids who are fantastic at sport, and they have the opportunity and perhaps realize some of their talents at a very early age. But many of us and many children, they have to search further for those talents, and they should all be encouraged, and they should all, we should ensure as teachers that they all know that they are the best, or they are fantastic at something, and that many of us are still searching for what that something is. But that's a very exciting thing to do in life, and to open ourselves up, to many, many of the different aspects of life that are out there. And we shouldn't be just focusing on the sport or the arts or the drama. We don't know what our talent, what those talents might be, and to keep searching for them. But they're there, and they're in all of us. I think that's something that sits well with me.
And that inspirational note from Pádraig Clerkin brings this week's Inside Education to a close. Pádraig is the Chief Executive Officer of the Irish Primary Principals Network, and they held their annual conference in City West Hotel and Conference Centre last Thursday and Friday. To download over 300 Inside Education podcasts, go to seandelaney.com. My book about teaching, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have, is available from all good bookshops and libraries. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.